There's this blonde driving this red sports car down the interstate in Southern California. She's coming on this disabled truck over here, and it had a bunch of animals in it. And he flagged her down, and he said, it's going to take me several hours to get this truck ready, and I'm working real hard on it, but he said, it's going to take me several hours. But I got a couple monkeys that need to get to the San Diego Zoo, so would you take them? And he said, sure, I'll take them. He says, I'm going that way. So they get the two monkeys out, and they strap them in the back seat with the seat belts and everything, and she zooms on down the highway and takes off. And so he finally gets the truck repaired, and he goes into San Diego with the rest of his animals to take, and all of it. And suddenly you notice over to the side there's a bunch of people looking and watching, and he looks over to the side to see what it is. And here's this blonde, and she's walking down the sidewalk, and she has these two monkeys, one on either side of her. And so he stops. He says, what are you doing? He says, I told you to take those two monkeys to the zoo. She said, I did, but we had enough money left over, we decided to go to the movies. So, now the story here of the Good Samaritan is what we're looking at this evening. The Good Samaritan is a very popular name, and the name is used in a lot of things today. And the hospitals and such, and orphan homes, all sorts of things. And you're probably pretty familiar with this story, but we'll look at see if we can't read some of the story here and see if the scriptures come up. But you know, when you look at this, people have all sorts of interpretations of what this parable teaches. Oh, they're all over the place. Some say that the traveler represents men who left the heavenly city Jerusalem for the worldly one Jericho. Some say the robbers are representative of the devil and sin who leave men dying in sin. Some say the priest and the Levite refer to the law and his sacrifice, which are unable to help. Some say, but the Good Samaritan is Jesus, who provides the help needed. And some say the wine represents the blood of Jesus, the oil, the anointing, and the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying when we look at this is there's interpretations all over the place as to what the Good Samaritan and the parable of the Good Samaritan means. And, but they're such interesting ones, but are they very sound, even though they are very interesting? Is it really what Jesus wanted to teach out of this parable? And the parable and its setting, let's look at this. We'll start by looking to see what the Bible has to say here in Luke, the 10th chapter, and verses 25 through 37. And I'm not sure we're going to get it all on the screen this evening as we go along. So Luke 10, and is that right? Luke 10, 25. Okay, it said, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied and said, A certain man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him, and went off leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down on the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, and pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, The one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, Go and do the same. So it's a familiar parable to most of us. We've heard it. The Sunday school teacher, of course, one time was trying to make a big impression upon her students about this parable. And so as she was describing the gentleman here who was beaten and robbed, and she was using some very descriptive language to about him and everything. And she gets to the end, and he said, if you saw somebody like that lying us along the side of the road, what would you do? And one of her students said, well, I'd probably just throw up, you know. And that might be our reaction if we came across somebody in such and such a situation. But we want to look at this particular parable under several different things that it points out to us. One is here that here's a lawyer stands in the back of the crowd, and he's been on the edge of the crowd here, and he's been watching with it, and he's saying and listening to Jesus. And so he's watching here. He finally says he stands up. I guess so people will know who he is and get the attention of everybody. That's one of the things they say. If if you're in a crowd of people in a business meeting or someplace, that standing up helps give a little bit of authority to what you're about to say. It's a little device that they tell people to use. So that's why he apparently knew that device, and so he stood up. And then he asked the question. Now, he asked the question that he asked here. He says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's a good question, isn't it? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That is really at the root of everything, isn't it? And so he answered, and he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Why was he able to do that? Why was he able to repeat that? Why could he come up with that when Jesus challenged him? Because he was wearing that as a part of what he wore every day. See, they wore these phylacteries that had portions of Scripture in them. They would bind them on their head or bind them on their forearm, and it had these portions of Scripture, and one of the portions of Scripture that they would have was most assuredly everyone would have that in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy 6 chapter, and we often go back to Deuteronomy 6:4, and we 6:4 and start there. Let's go a little further. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house." And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so he knew the answer to the question then, because he had it bound on him. This would have been repeated by them many times, this particular passage of Scripture. Some people, of course, think that this, When we talk about loving the Lord our God with all our heart and loving our neighbor, that's just a New Testament concept. Here we see that, in fact, it's repeated again in the book of Leviticus, the same thing, the same concept. And so he knew the answer, but he wanted to challenge Jesus here. And so he asked Jesus this question. And, that wasn't enough, you see. Jesus threw the question back to him. That's a really good device, of course. And he says, what does it say? And so he had to repeat what he thought was the answer. And Jesus what? Tells him here. And 28, and he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you shall live. There you have it. What was the original question? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him, what does it say? He repeated this. And Jesus said, you answered correctly. I mean, he got 100% on the little quiz right there. He started out the quiz, of course, quizzing Jesus. He ended up being quizzed himself by Jesus, but he gets an A+ on the answer here. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. You see, he found out and realized in the course of all this that now Jesus had put him on the defensive. And that wasn't the intent at all. He wanted to expose Jesus in front of this crowd that was there. And so he asked him the next question here. And verse 29, but wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, that seems to be an interesting question. Who is my neighbor? Okay. Is it the person that lives right next door to you, or the person that lives right across the street from you? Who is your neighbor? You know? Sesame one about, about living in your neighborhood. I can't remember the whole thing how it goes right now. But won't you be my neighbor is a part of the song. Won't you be my neighbor? Now, who is your neighbor? That's the question. And so Jesus gives the parable here of the Good Samaritan. You know, as he discusses this, you know, I had read about, and of course taught this parable and discussed this parable before I ever had the chance to actually see the road to Jericho. And I suppose we ought to have somebody sing on the Jericho Road. Great quartet piece. But Jesus replied and said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went off leaving him half dead. It's about 20, 22 miles down to, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it's a downward road down to Jericho. In the occasion that we went and the transportation that we had, it was barely a one-way road. That bus seemed bigger than the road. And I wondered if we were going to make it all the way to Jericho without difficulty, but we did. But the road, even in biblical times, was full of lots of rocks, caves, crevices, and place for robbers to hide. It was known as the Bloody Way. Because so often people traveling on the Jericho Road would be beaten, they would be robbed. Many would be left for dead and died on the Jericho Road. And so it was a story, as it starts out, that they would be familiar with. Well, this is true. Everybody knew that the road to Jericho was a hard road to go. And I suppose they didn't even want to go to Jericho because they knew how bad it was and what the consequences could be. But sometimes business took you to Jericho or from Jericho to Jerusalem. And so they beat him and they left him there half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He was on his way to do service. Certain priests was on his way to do service. They would do service in reading and preaching of the and deliverance of the law and the material. And as he was going along, and he passed by on the other side. That was a big point here, but it's because he couldn't touch anybody. In case he was dead, you see, he would be declared ceremonially unclean and he couldn't go and perform his duties. And so, you know, typically, as the overreaction of most of them were, he went on the other side. Now, stay clear of this. You know, and maybe he's alive and maybe he isn't, but I can't afford to take the chance. Otherwise, I can't go up and I can't do the work. And who's the next person that comes on? Here comes a Levite. They perform the sacrifices in the temple. It says, and likewise the Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. Well, now the Levite, because he was doing the sacrifices again, he couldn't do that. It's kind of like this, you know. He had to be up there. I suppose he had to get up to Jerusalem. Apparently looks like he is on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem to do service at the temple. And I cannot be delayed on my way to service. It'd be like you coming to church tonight, say, oh, I'm running late. and you pass by somebody who's got a flat tire and they're trying to change it out there when it was raining and stuff, and you say, well, if I just had more time, if I wasn't late for church, I'd stop and help them. But, you know, I need to be on time. Not that that's been a high criteria here necessarily, but it does sometimes when it becomes a criteria when you don't want to stop. Now, I'm on my way to church. But if I wasn't on my way to church, and if I wasn't dressed in these good clothes, if I didn't want to get the stink of gas on my hands, I'd go get them some gas. But, you know, I'd sit there during the entire time of church, and all I saw and smell was that gas on me. So I don't want to do that. So the Levite, the priest, they passed by on the other side. They couldn't take a chance. That they'd be unceremonially clean, that they'd be late for service. So who comes along? The Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. Now we must say something about the Samaritan and who a Samaritan is. You see, a Samaritan was just a half-breed. That's the term we can use here. They were part Jewish, but they weren't whole Jewish. And because they had intermixed in their marriage during the time of the captivity, that the Jews who returned thought less of them. Now, they didn't think a lot less of them because they did allow them to come help them with the rebuilding of the temple and the walls. But as far as accepting them in complete society, they wouldn't do that because, you know, you're not 100% Jewish. You intermarried. And so they really, really looked down on the Samaritans. You know, later on, Jesus has an encounter with the Samaritan woman, you know, at the well. And what is he doing there? That whole exchange that takes place there, she's surprised that he, being a Jew, would even talk to her first because she was a woman and secondly because she was a Samaritan. They didn't have anything to do with it. And so Jesus pulls out this. So here's the Samaritan, the hated person. This lawyer would just, you know, he's having trouble with this concept. He had no love for a Samaritan. And now he's talking about a Samaritan doing what? Well, he takes care of the man's needs. He came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. Well, I like that. He felt compassion. That is something that we miss. We miss people who have compassion. It's interesting. We can have people who have compassion on animals, and that's all right. But I am a bit taken back by people who have more compassion for animals than they have for individuals. And there are those. More compassion for things than they have for somebody who needs help. But he had compassion on him. He came to him and bandaged up his wounds and pouring oil and wine on them. And he put them on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So the oil and the wine, of course, were some holistic medicine that was being performed here. Still use some of that stuff in some form, you know. Alcohol or the wine here is an antiseptic, and of course the wounds, of course, to keep stuff from coming in, actually. It's sealing off the wound. But he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii. Well, this is about, I believe it's like a 2 day, a day's wages, 2 denarii. But anyway, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. So if you need more, I'll be back. And I'll take care of it. Now, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hand? Wonder if the lawyer's still standing up. And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. How hard it must have been for him to say those words. The one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said, go and do the same. Go and do the same. Quite a charge. Go and do the same. We kind of hand select the areas in which we want to serve and who we want to serve. We don't like the inconveniences sometimes that come our way. Some of you, if you arrived here this evening or earlier here this evening, you will probably notice that the other end of the drive was kind of blocked off. A guy with a truck and some mowing equipment and stuff, and I walked down to the mailbox to get the mail, and he's telling me, I'm doing a little charity work for this lady over here. She can't afford, nor does she have the equipment to mow her lawn. And so we're mowing our lawn for her. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about? Whatever day it was, I forgot. This is Friday. Must have been yesterday. I mean, this Saturday must have been yesterday myself. I was out here weed eating across the front. Now, Bob's wonderful. He comes and mows our lawn for us. You know, the man next door mows our lawn for us. Except, you know, it's a riding mower, and it can't get this one stretch right there right across the front. And one time I tried to do it, and I had back trouble for 6 weeks. And then Aaron done it a couple times for us. But he mowed this week, and it really needed for that to be down to make the whole difference in the appearance of the place. And so I started out. It was overcast when I started out, and I did a little bit and stopped, did a little bit and stopped, did a little bit, stopped, kept working my way down. Sun came out, it was getting hotter, I was stopping a lot quicker and leaning a lot more as I was going down there. And I worked my way from this end to that end, and toward that end, I noticed over there in the drive over there, there was a van sitting there pointed in our direction, just sitting there. And I just noticed it, you know, didn't do anything. And then about toward the time I got done, it pulled out. And I saw on the side of it that it had to do with heating and air conditioning. And so I assumed he was sitting over there, probably talking on the phone, figuring out where he was supposed to be or where he needed to go next or something like that. And so I finished the job, began to pick up the equipment. And as I went out the door, here comes that van right in the drive of the church. And he said, come here. I said, come here. I said, why did you come here a while ago when I was doing all that? I saw you sitting over there. You could have come over and helped finish me off. And he said, come here. And I got closer to him, and he introduced himself to me. But at the same time he was introducing himself, he took out a nice, cold container of water that he'd gone down here and bought it to me and gave it to me. Isn't that the story, too? I think it is. It's not the big things, necessarily. This is a big thing here. Certainly this guy was left to die, but it's not always the big things, it's the little things that we can be Samaritans. In fact, it so impressed me. Actually, I think that was on Thursday. Because it so impressed me, I told that story several times over the next couple of days. And then I also thought, you know, I ought to keep a cooler full of those water in my car. So when I'm driving along, I can pull one out and give it to somebody to see out working in the yard or something like that. But it's the little things sometimes and not the big ones that make the difference in being a Samaritan. Jesus charged to us, that was the same charge that he gave to him, go thou and do likewise. Pretty good. Before we sing our last song, we're going to do a little exercise here. We're going to take a little time out right now to recognize the people who've been neighbors for us. If a person, now listen to this material first, if a person who has helped you grow spiritually is here this evening, I want you to go and thank that person right here this evening. Here when I tell you in just a moment. If someone here warmly welcomed you to church this evening, I want you to go and thank that person. If someone brought you a meal when you were sick or in need of food, and that person acted as your neighbor, I want you to get up and thank them. If a person helped you move into a home, or thank them for being your neighbor. If you know someone was praying for a specific need in your life, I want you to thank that person for being your neighbor. If a person here watched your kids so that you could go do something, I want you to thank that person because they're your neighbor. If someone here listened to you or provided a shoulder to cry on, I want you to thank that person. I want you to take the opportunity to do that right now before we sing the last song. Get up and thank some people for what they've done.